Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. John, could you speak? I want to see if I can hear you too.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We're I'll make an announcement in a minute or so. We're kind of flying on one wing this morning.
We all are, Jerry. We're with you. On one wing.
At least we're flying, okay?
This is true.
What is going on is that I'm not getting any power coming from the circuits here at church. So our speaker is off and the monitor is off. The rest of it's working. I can see you okay. I'm sure you can hear me. I can hear you. So if you have some questions to ask or some comments to make, I will need to sort of relay that to the group that's here. And we're here because there's no heat. So that's something else that's not working at the moment. Anyway. I started it already. I knew I would forget it in the midst of everything else. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Jerry.
Let's see, we about time? Yeah. Okay, guys. We can take a moment just to connect and be connected. I need a moment to center myself right now whenever I find myself in the midst of things I think should be working that are not working. I find that distracting. It bothers my perfectionism. Gets in the way of my peace of mind. And yet, damn it, I want to make it work anyway. It should be doing this. It shouldn't be doing this. But it is. I'm reminded of how much the world that I live in is dominated or dictated by the way I think things should be. And how we are all letting go of that for the moment. So maybe there are some things in your life, your personal life, that are not working the way you think they should. Can you let go of those for a moment? Can you let go of your shoulds? And know that there is something much greater going on than my own personal needs. And that we don't understand everything. We don't know all of the whys or the wherefores. But we might discover a deeper meaning of things as we join our energies together this morning. So with an intention and a willingness and an openness to heal, to grow, to transform. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to begin on page 111. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see. If by any chance any of you are not receiving reflections and the meditations that I usually mail out on Monday or Tuesday, please let me know and I'll make sure you get back on the list. I must admit that I'm not completely centered this morning. Or let's put it this way, I'm not where I want to be this morning. I'm not where I think I should be this morning. I could really stretch that one out. Here we are. Page 111. The second thing we would like to say is that you are worthy of this. Now, we've heard that a million times. Do we really believe it? That phrase, "Oh Lord, I am not worthy," which you grew up in the Catholic tradition, you know, we would pound on our chest and say, "Oh, Lord, I am not worthy," or whenever that was. Usually it was before communion. Well, that came about from an incident in the life of Jesus when he was approached by one of the leaders of the synagogue who asked him, "Would you come to my home and heal my servant?" And Jesus said, "Of course I will." And then the guy said, "I am not worthy that thou should visit my house. Only say the word and my servant shall be healed." In other words, "I don't want to bother you. Don't waste your time. You don't have to walk 5 miles to my house. You can cure him right from where you are. I know you can cure him from where you are in this minute, in this place. So don't bother. Don't bother coming to my house. You can do it right here." Didn't have anything to do with what we call worthiness. It had to do with this guy saying, "I don't want to waste your time. I believe you can perform. I believe your miracles and your love and your guidance and your healing go far beyond time and space. So you can do it right here if you want to. Go ahead and do it right here. You don't have to come to my house to do it." And somehow or another, we twisted that around to make everybody think there's something wrong with you. And you know what? We bought it. And so all of the wonderful leaders of church, whether it's the Catholic Church or some other church, you know, bought into that one and say, "You know, it's really, you know what? You know, it's the most powerful trip I can be on if I can make all of you think that you're not worthy, but I am. That somehow or another, I've got a secret that you don't know, that I went to ministerial school, that I was a monk for 27 years, or whatever it is." And we bought it. And most of the time we bought it because we had no other place to go. I mean, if you learn you're not worthy, who do you approach to find out whether you are or not? There's no classroom there. It says, okay, for all of those who are taught you're unworthy, here's a class you can take in worthiness. Nobody offers that. At least not until today. You are worthy. Which means you are worth it. Which means you matter. Which means there are aspects, essence of who you are that cannot change or be taken away from you because they are the essence of your divine nature. Which, well, sometimes we say never changes, but it really does because it continues to expand. But, you know, Margot and I got online yesterday to attend a little class that a friend of ours recommended. And it wasn't all that great. It was okay. But the lady who was running the show asked us to introduce ourselves. And I introduced myself and I said that I had worked with this one person who had recommended this group for a number of years. And then Margot got on. And I'm going to paraphrase this, and said something to the effect of, you know what I am most grateful for is this wonderful man I'm married to. And in the back of my mind, I said, oh, really? It's still there. It's still that unworthiness, that sense of not belonging, not fitting in, of something wrong with me. It's still sitting there. Oh, I need to say something very quickly. Judy, thank you for signing in. Somehow or another, your email is not connecting anymore. I'm not sure whether you got a new one or not, but if you have a new email or even the old one, if you want to resend it to me, send it to jerryboy@twc.com. It's GERRYBOY. @twc.com, because I want to make sure you stay on the list. Okay, thank you.
Which anyway, Judy are you talking to, Jerry?
Judy Warren.
Oh, okay, sure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, the second thing we would like to say is that you are worthy of this, whether you believe it or not. Don't check in and say, "Well, do I really believe I'm worthy?" Say you are. Pretend that you are. As a teacher of mine, you say, make a believe you are worthy and see what flows from that. What would it be like if I really experienced myself as being worthy? What would happen then? What would flow? So don't worry about whether you got it or not. It's already there. Don't even worry about that one. Well, where is it? I can't find it. Just make a believe that you are worthy. Make a believe of what it would be like if you thought of yourself as being worthy. What would happen? What would be different? What would flow? And let that one work with you. Gently, let it work with you. You know, you see, it's not about using your small self to try to get to your higher self. That's what most of us try and do. Well, here I am lost in my personality and my ego consciousness. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use that as a springboard to jump up into my higher consciousness. And all I do is a belly flop in the middle of the pool, okay, because it doesn't work that way. We open ourselves up to our higher consciousness. We surrender to it. We allow that to happen. So what we do, if you want to work your small self into that picture, what we do is we get our willingness and our intention and all of the other stuff together as best we possibly can in our small or in our little self-consciousness, and we bring it up to the edge of the cliff. We kind of push it as far as it'll go. That's as far as I can push my lower consciousness, and then I let go. See, it's God, it's in your hands. Divine consciousness, it's in your hands. And you must remember this always. Sorry, I'm so wound up this morning. Obviously, you could tell that. And you must remember this always. There is no man on this plane, no woman on this plane, who is higher than another. I quoted this, I think, to my Tuesday night group. And I came across this, I think it was in one of these books, but I'm not positive. I'm going to paraphrase here. You don't hold someone in the light because you're better than they are. Oh, you poor slob, you're in the dark. I'll hold you in the light. You don't hold somebody in the light because you're better. You hold them in the light because you love them. And if you don't love them, you can't hold them in the light. Okay, that's another one. You know, I often go back to that wonderful story that Thomas Merton told on himself about, you know, seeing everybody as beings of light on the corner of 4th and Chestnut, which used to be 4th and Chestnut years ago. What we miss is what he said a little bit after that. He said, what I realized was I love all these people. I love all these people. That's what he was really grateful for. Not the kind of the minor miracle of seeing everybody as beings of light. The real miracle was I love all these people. There is no man on this plane, no woman on this plane who is higher than another. That is illusion. It's what causes all kinds of trouble. My judgment. Here's another one. Who do I consider to be unworthy? Who am I judging at this moment? Oops. No man or no woman is better than another. No man or no woman is unworthy, no matter what their personality might look like, no matter what their ego might look like, no matter what mask they might have created to walk through planet Earth with. There is none and are none who are better than another. Now, I must say, there are some disguises that I notice that I look around and say, well, I'm glad that's not one of mine. I've got enough trouble with my disguises. I've got enough trouble seeing through my, I'm glad I don't have to work on that one. And that's perfectly okay. You can be happy it's not yours. But don't judge it for being bad, because it's not. It's perfect. Donald's persona is perfect. What a teacher. Oh, everybody's worthy except you. Ah, interesting.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
So help me to think through this one. I two people that I pray for are, and I tend to hold them in the light, and I have a rationale for it, is I tend to hold Donald Trump and Putin in the light. And my rationale is that I think that they, because of the way that they think, that they tend to cause a lot of pain. And so I try to love them, and I hold them in the light, and I put them in God's hands. But what I essentially am trying to do is I'm letting it go. I'm not, in a way, I'm judging them.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I, at the same time, I almost think they're funny. And so I'm not sure how to think about that.
Okay. The question John raises is that even when I decide to hold, let's say, Donald or Vladimir in the light, that it's a very fine line between making a judgment about that and doing it. And I'm not sure whether in my lower consciousness, my personality self, I can really make that kind of separation. Because see, my personality self sees their personality self. When I am coming at somebody in judgment, whatever form that might take, that's coming from my sense of inadequacy or woundedness or unworthiness or whatever might happen to be. So my prayer is, even before I decide to hold you in the light, because I'm so much better than you are, okay? I'm so much more enlightened than you are. I'm so much more advanced than you are, you poor slob. All right, I'm going to hold you in line. Before I even do that, my prayer is, Lord, that I may see. May I see these beings as you see them. May I see them with the unconditional love that you love them with. Can I see them beyond my own personal hatred, my own personal prejudice, my own personal judgment? Can I see them beyond that? And if I can't, let me still be open to that as best I possibly can be. And let me hold them in prayer, because I need to hold them in prayer. They might not need me to hold them in, but I need to hold them in prayer because I'm still judging them. That's my need. I need to hold them in prayer because I'm still holding them in judgment. Lord, that I may see. Again and again and again. Whoops, got me there. Got me again. I remember Ram Dass told this story about when he was touring the country, making these talks all over the place. They used to rent church halls and assembly halls and things like that. And he said, the only requirement that I really, really wanted to have was I asked for a boom microphone, because I usually like to sit in the lotus position and talk sitting down. And so if I can have a boom mic that I can talk into, it's a lot easier to handle than one of those standard upright kind of things. So he said one day, he said he was feeling really good, really pumped up about himself, and walked into this assembly hall, and here's this microphone with this great big stand stick. And he said, what's that? And they said, well, that's the only one we could find. And all of a sudden, he said he heard his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, laughing in the back of his head. He said, I just came to you disguised as a microphone. Right. Look how easily that piece of metal threw you off from your trip. And so here I am this morning noticing how easy it was that a trip circuit breaker that I couldn't hunt down, right, started spoiling. Oh, nobody's going to get anything out of this. It's ruined. It's spoiled. Nothing's going to happen correctly. Blah, 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 blah.
Jerry.
Yes.
Speaking of that, I have my family is very sick with drugs and alcohol. A lot of the nephews and nieces are very sick. A couple of them are in a halfway house, and one just got out of prison. And my brother's son had a wedding. He got married, and there was a wedding. And I went to the wedding, and one of the ones that was suffering really bad from this disease was there, and my heart just lit up. And I just went up to him and I just hugged him and was so happy he was alive and he looked good. And it was just a feeling of, wow, and his family doesn't talk to him.
Hmm.
And then I had another nephew there, and he just got out of jail. And a lot of the people there just, you know, he was in prison, have, I don't know, given up on him. Mm-hmm. And I saw him, and my heart just lit up, and I was so happy to see him. It was just, I guess there was no judgment. There was only love. Gosh, mm-hmm. I was so... just so happy that I don't know if they're off drugs, or I know they're trying to do better, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, you love them. You just love them.
Appreciate that, Diane. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those moments of being, of heart opening, of joyfulness, being with another person, or sometimes not, sometimes just by yourself, to me anyway, are kind of hints about what it would be like to walk around in that state of mind all the time. Mm-hmm. Loving everyone and everything. I'm not there. But every once in a while I get a hint. I get sort of a tap on the shoulder. This is what it would be like in that higher, in the upper room, in that higher state of consciousness all the time. So when you're, you know, I'm in that, and those little moments can happen to us. We can't force them to happen. I can't say, well, I think I'm gonna turn on my heart light right now. It just happens. And I'm so grateful when it does. Because again, it's not only something that gives me grace at that particular moment, but it's also something that reminds me of what living in that higher consciousness would be like all of the time. As Jesus said, talking about heaven, he said, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has provided for those who love him." And I believe one talking about something out there someplace was that this is what it's like in classroom planet Earth, right? When you are living in higher consciousness, when you're living in the upper room. And so when those moments come along, just be grateful for them. Let them work with you as Diane did that day, a couple of days ago. Let them work with you. And don't try to hold on to them. It's not like a butterfly, you know, you're trying to grab with a net and pin down in a box someplace. Be in the moment. You can recognize it. You can be aware of it. Say, oh, this is wonderful. This is really great. I'm in God's presence. I'm in the presence of love, whatever it might happen to be. But don't try to grab it. Just be it. It will pass. And we'll shut down again. Or we'll get into judgment again, or we'll get lost. It will, that's part of the trip. But when those moments come along, I would suggest really be as open to them and as grateful for them as you possibly can be. It's a gift.
Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, John?
I just want to...
Okay. Go ahead, Diane.
I just want to say that moment was not about me.
Right.
That moment was... It was about them and the love they needed.
Yeah, there's no self-centeredness involved in that. There's no ego involved in that. That's how we can tell the difference. John.
It was about them.
So one of the, I'm not sure how, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I guess I'm going to now. We've had a couple of family members who were, picked upon as children, harassed and all that stuff. When children are tormented by other children as they grow up, it can affect them for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. One of my cousin's children actually committed suicide. But another family member who was picked upon by other children as he grew up, he developed such anger, and today he's on trial for murder.
Mm.
He was never able to control his anger. And, but we look at him and, what we see is a child who he just never quite was able, I mean, we see him very through different eyes than other people see. And, you know, it's just easy to see him as a
mm-hmm.
through love
mm-hmm.
and through the eyes of love. So it's just, it's all in your perspective.
Yes.
Thanks.
Perception is everything.
Yeah.
And there's no material world explanation for some of that, except that if we're looking at it simply in the context of this lifetime, it makes no sense at all. But we have to realize that there's much more than just one solitary life here that we're looking at, and that we don't know. Looking at it through the human eyes of myself, there's no explanation for something like that. So that we have to depend on a bigger one that my mind is not able to grasp at the moment. But you're right. I think I come back to that quite often. Perception, how I'm seeing things. this judgment that the book is talking about is an illusion. It's what causes all kinds of trouble. It's what keeps the beggar in the street and the rich man in his tower. You are all one being, really, experiencing yourself through individuated consciousness. But you rely upon one another in ways you can never know. And you may be in consort with those you may never meet on this plane. But you have great times and great ways of knowing one another in the higher realms. I know I've shared this one with you before. Somebody comes into your mind that you haven't thought about in 30 or 40 years. You know, we can think about that and say, I wonder what they're doing, and then sort of dismiss that thought. I become aware of one of the reasons why that might be happening is that this person is asking me to pray for them. Because each one of us is a unique expression of the divine. That the prayer you offer that other being is unique in its power, in its transformation ability, right? Coming from you is different than coming from anybody else. And so I always honor those moments. I don't write down, you know, say, well, I need to get in touch with them. I need to send them an email. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But it's not something in the external world that's really at stake here. I believe that person enters our mind for a reason, and that they are asking for our own sense or essence of grace to pass on. The agreement to incarnate in many ways is simply the agreement to come into your knowing as the one in truth, as the one who is worthy of the kingdom. In other words, that's what we're here to learn, and that's what we're here to teach. I'm here to learn my worthiness again, and I'm here to teach my worthiness again. If you could just take a moment, we might put this in our meditation this morning, but this is just an idea of imagining yourself being loved by someone who dearly loves you. Just imagine what that's like, knowing that you are loved by someone who deeply loves you. And then imagining what it would be like to love yourself that same way. Love yourself the same way. Just try that on for size every once in a while. The last thing we will say to you now is that you must not fear who you are. Whatever you have done or thought you have done, whatever you have claimed in fear, cannot be lifted as you are attached to it. In other words, it does not exist in higher consciousness. How do I know I'm in higher consciousness? I'm not judging and I'm not afraid. We are going to give you a situation now to understand. When you have someone who believes himself to be dirty, he will always be running to be cleansed. Until you realize that you are truly clean, that the essence of you is unsoiled, you will always know yourself in another way. In other words, you will always see yourself as being unworthy, soiled, in darkness. We will tell you this. You are clean. You are free. You are loved. You are known by us in your pure sense of being, the essence of who you are. not your body, not your personality, not your past. We honor this. And if you would like to see us before you now, in any way you like, we would like to open our arms to you and embrace you in frequency. We're going to do a meditation around this in a minute. As we do this with you, as we align to you wherever you sit, we would like to hold your vibration. And as we hold the frequency that you are, we are going to liberate you from the sense of self-loathing or fear of being the self that you may have held. We ask for your permission now to be embraced, to be resolved, to be cleansed of the self who believes she is dirty and cannot be welcomed to the altar with her dirty feet. You are clean as you are. You are loved as you are. And you have the right to be welcomed to the altar that stands between you and all the wonder that will be. We invite you now with us to place upon this altar anything you wish to leave here. Whatever shame, whatever fear, whatever hunger for fame or debasement or change that is born in fear, we invite you to leave it at the altar before you. And as we stand next to you here, we sponsor you on your journey. We know who you are, what you are, and how you serve. We will leave you now, and we will take you next up the mountain. Thank you for your presence. Period, period, period.
Hey, Jerry.
Yo.
I'm going to say something before you go into the meditation. Thank you for that, actually. I apologize for getting in a little late. But that goes into, I say this to me, Jim, every day. Two things. Number one, I'm never bound by any of my mistakes. I'll say it about three times. I am not bound by any of my mistakes. And then the next thing I'll say is the universe or God holds nothing against Jim, nothing against me. Therefore, how can I hold anything against myself?
It's like the reminder that is given in that gospel story about what is called the woman taken in adultery. When Jesus finally winds up after all the Pharisees and the scribes go away for whatever reason, he asks her, he said, "Does anyone condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I. You're free." Condemnation only existed in everyone else's sense of unworthiness. It had nothing to do with the essence of who you are. So let's take a few minutes to ground ourselves in that truth. So I'm going to ask
before you start. Before you start, Jerry, can I say something before you start?
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, that hug for the boys was because I saw myself in them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it said, mm-hmm. You'll see yourself, and but for the grace of God, there go I.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I was, a drug addict, alcoholic. And I remember in the Bible, he says Jesus came for the sinner to heal those that need. He was a doctor. He came to heal those that were sick. And the only way I guess I know, I wish that I had gotten those hugs and that love, but I make sure now that it just lights up in you, and it's for myself, and it is my gratefulness, you know, to mm-hmm. hug and say, oh, and I know things will, you know, I just really believe that the same way it was done for me, it'll be done for the others.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks.
When you were reading that passage, I saw it as this building that everything you said was something to put out there. I don't remember the passage now, but it's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But I see that for the building.
It's very real. Thank you for that. Okay, we're going to ask you to find a comfortable spot if you're not in one already. Or as comfortable as you can be wherever you are. And breathe. First of all, take a couple of deep breaths. Just go stretch your insides a little bit. Soften yourself. Allow yourself to become receptive, open. And breathe into that openness. As you expand and open even a little bit more. And imagine or feel or sense that each one of us as individuals and as a group are surrounded by these loving beings. You can call them angels, you can call them guides, doesn't matter. Surrounded by these beings who do not have a physical body, but whose presence we can almost sense and feel. And that they are holding a space for us. Each one of us. I mean, some of them might even be holding you on the shoulders, or sitting in your lap, or sitting beside you, or just forming a circle around you. And these beings are aware of their essence of being pure and unconditional love. And they hold you, support you, love you, fill you with that energy. And you allow yourself to simply take that in. It'd be like imagining that all of your resistance is like a block of ice that you put into the sunshine. You don't have to do anything. It just begins to melt away, leaving only the essence and the truth of who you are. Beyond your body, beyond your mind, beyond your feelings. And let that love, that energy, touch and fill every fiber of your being, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And as you sit there in the quiet, in that space of lovingness, I would like to share this with you again. These are the guides, the angels speaking to you in this present moment. We ask for your permission now to be embraced, to be resolved, to be cleansed of the self who believes she is dirty and cannot be welcomed to the altar with her dirty feet. As we do this with you, as we align to you wherever you sit, we would like to hold your vibration. And as we hold the frequency of that, what you are, we are going to liberate you from the sense of self-loathing or fear of being the self that you may have been told. You are clean as you are. You are loved as you are. And you have the right to be welcomed to the altar that stands between you and all the wonder that will be. We invite you now with us to place upon this altar anything you wish to leave here. Whatever shame, whatever fear, whatever hunger for fame or debasement or change that is born in fear, we invite you to leave it at the altar before you to be transformed, to be healed, to be released. And we stand next to you here. We sponsor you on your journey. We know who you are, what you are, and how you serve. Thank you for your presence. Period, period, period. Back in tune with your breathing again, that natural rhythm. And stretch a bit. Allow your soul to continue to process that awareness. And when you're ready to, you can open your eyes. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add before we close this morning? I know it's a little bit early, but it seems like a natural place to pause for a moment.
Yeah, I just want to say I don't know about everyone else, but what we just did, and to knowing our worth, and to know that we're love, for me, you know, that's a continuum over and over and over and over again. Not because I don't believe, but it's just the practice of it, and knowing, for me, it dissolves that which is contrary to that. So I thank you for that, Jerry.
Thank you, Jim. It's like asking ourselves, how much love can I hold? And realizing that I can hold more in this next moment than I had the moment before. So it's not like we're creating that, but we're opening ourselves to it more and more and more and more until you become it. I open myself up to unconditional love more again and again and again until I become unconditional love, which is, in essence, is the truth of who I am. So we'll say good morning to you all. Hope you have a great rest of the day. I'm going to see if I can get some of these circuits working before next week. Take good care of yourselves. Take good care of one another. Remember.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to see all of you.
See you guys.
You guys. Have a wonderful
love
week.
You all.
Peace and blessings.
You,
bye.
See you guys.
I think they've already had church. The recenter. Yeah.
And check the any of the outside circuits.
Resumes later.
Yeah.
already raised herself, really.
Thank you.
See you, Marla. She only had a couple of two or three years. Maybe. How was the rest of the weekend? Saturday.
I did the Girl Scout Festival of the Arches. Myself for the first day. Then when they did the second day, it seemed to be something they all knew and everybody filling in, except me and Martha. So I just sort of sat down and watched.
Good.
And has the bottom thrust.
The what?
Has the bottom
thrust. Yeah, yeah. From Michigan.
She really got it. They encourage you to, you know, get out there.
Are you in one of the programs or have you just come?
Yeah. Are you in that one too?
Yeah.
Or is it just in different small groups? How does he get too much pictures?
Yeah, I don't. I was telling Mark, I said, I always, I joined the EL, and it's like I want to get started. It feels more like real or something. There's something in the version of that set. So, but also, honestly, because I read this book with a couple other people on it, I'd like to be more of it. Discussing the book, so I was hoping for more of that of us. I don't feel like two people would show up, so what? She we always had at least three people that was fine.
Every group is and we have one and then when I'm with the airman, so
I'm gonna work the work
you're gonna push through it,
you know, to see what that's like.
You go purple shoes.
Okay, fine.
Yes, they are.
Jerry, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks. heard about the Energy Works Melbourne test?
No. Here's your name tag for you. Name tag Sunday.
I'm at a loss here.